Welcome to the EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference Podcast.
Are we actually experts in running data centers? Maybe we shouldn't be concentrating our resources on that. We maybe should be concentrating our resources on the actual missions of our campuses.
That's Melissa Wu from a conversation on the pros and cons of one of this year's big buzzwords, cloud computing. Melissa Wu is Director of Cyber Infrastructure and Director of Network and Operations Services at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Also part of the conversation is Michael Diekman, Senior Associate Vice President and CIO for the University of West Florida. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and I spoke with both Diekman and Wu after their point-counterpoint session entitled Cloud Computing, Hype or Hope, at the EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference in Denver, Colorado. This conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International.
Cloud computing is one of those terms that has really been the term of the year for 2009 in a lot of ways. And I'd like to start by each of you, if you could give me what your definition is or what the definitions are of cloud computing.
Jerry, I find the term cloud computing to be extremely overloaded at this time. And in fact, there was a report recently by McKinsey and Company that identified 22 different definitions for cloud computing. So personally, the way I look at cloud computing, it is a source of services that might be external to your local campus. And when we did our point-counterpoint this morning, we were actually reserving our definition to just the public cloud. So in other words, services that come in over the internet that are not run in our own organizations. However, there are other types of cloud computing. There's private clouds that you might be running on your campus. And there's also multi-institutional clouds, which might be a consortium of different institutions.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Jerry. But I think another element that's very essential to the cloud definition is this idea that the infrastructure is being delivered in a way where there's this extreme level of sharing, what some folks call the multi-tenant model. For example, when you're using Google Mail, it's you, hundreds or thousands of other institutions, and hundreds of thousands of end users all sharing a single, very distributed, very large-scale infrastructure. So that's kind of a new twist on the outsourcing. In the past, we've outsourced systems in ways where we still have a good handle on where that outsourced system is. The new paradigm of the cloud is we're not sure where it is. It's in many cases, many places scattered all around the globe in bits and pieces.
So why are colleges and universities embracing the cloud so strongly this year? And what's the momentum here?
Well, I don't think everybody is on board. I think Melissa will be able to address that. And of course, in one of the sessions today, Phil Goldstein from ECAR was looking at some statistics on cloud adoption. And it is still very much a minority thing, but certainly growing in importance, growing in more folks taking a look at it. A lot of it, I have to admit, is, I think, economic. The economies of scale in the cloud model bring us services priced in a totally different way. In many cases, these services are at least for now free, supposedly, to our institutions, at least in terms of when you sign the contract on the dotted line, there's no cost associated. There may be hidden operating costs. But when you're looking at resources that are shrinking, budgets that are being cut back, where are you going to focus scarce staff talent? It's awfully attractive to look at some of these services, particularly the ones that are more commodity-oriented, and just outsource that problem. And some of these folks in the cloud are doing this very well. I would argue in some cases doing as well or better than we can do inside our institutional walls at a very attractive cost.
To follow up a bit on what Mike says, I think there is an examination of what our core competencies are as higher education institutions. So things that are commodity or things that maybe we shouldn't be in the business of doing. Are we actually experts in running data centers? Maybe we shouldn't be concentrating our resources on that. We maybe should be concentrating our resources on the actual missions of our campuses, which are usually teaching and learning, and in some cases research, and in some cases outreach.
So it sounds like it's sort of a break from the traditional, we build everything that is our identity.
But there's also a danger in losing identity if we put too much into the cloud. that's something that our campus is weighing as well. And what our campus does is it looks at the requirements of our stakeholders before it decides on a sourcing strategy. And in some cases, going to the cloud will be just fine. But there are other cases where we might want to keep things internally in order to help build our brand and help build our identity, because we are very interested in making sure that we retain our students, that we actually attract students and attract good faculty as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific examples of something that you might want to hold on to that other universities might outsource?
Well, at UW-Milwaukee, we've actually kept our email and calendaring system internal, and mostly for the calendaring, because it's allowed us to build onto our calendaring systems. One of the things we recently deployed was something we call Subscription Center. What it allows is units on campus to put event calendars up, and then other members of the community can actually subscribe to whatever calendars are of interest to them. So, for example, I can subscribe to the calendar that talks about the bands that are going to show up at our campus pub. Well, maybe of a more useful event, there actually are calendars out for our first-year student center. So that might be of interest to our first-year students, and that aids in retention. At least we hope it will.
Mm-hmm. So you see value in that. What do you think universities should hold on to, and what do you think they should let go?
I don't think I'm a cloud fanatic, if that's what you
mean.
Melissa might challenge that. But I do think that the parameters are shifting, and at some point, perhaps the burden of proof is going to shift as well. Whereas now, the argument might be you need to justify moving a service to the cloud. I think in the future, the burden of proof is going to be justify why you're keeping this in-house.
If you look to the future, what is this going to do to IT staffing? What skills are IT staffers and IT professionals going to need to adopt to roll with these changes? And second, what is the IT organization going to look like with this much commodification?
I see IT professionals needing skills that are going to allow them to communicate and collaborate more with faculty and our student stakeholders. What I also see is the need to have skills to deal with external vendors, because we are going to be dealing with service-level agreements going forward and negotiating agreements. There will also be the need to, beyond project management, basically handle things at a higher level, maybe handle things not at the server hugger level.
Do you see the IT organization becoming leaner?
I don't think overall we're going to be leaner. I just think we're going to look different. I think, for example, a large part of our staffs right now are involved in running data centers, running very large, very complex infrastructures. We may be starting to see the phase coming where that's becoming industrialized, for lack of a better word, or rather than being a cottage industry within our organization, these folks in the cloud are going to be running very, very large scale factory model data centers. A large part of that piece of our operation perhaps we'll do away with. And as Melissa said, we're going to instead be concentrating on integration involved and still trying to tie all those services together into some coherent enterprise university computing environment that still makes sense. But a certain part of the industrial nature, might call it, of running IT, we might actually see that shrink a little bit outside of research and development areas.
What are some of the challenges with implementing and using cloud computing?
Well, there are a whole host of them. I mean, starting with, again, the risk management piece, particularly if institutional data is being held in the cloud. There's all kinds of contractual things to look at in that regard, and implications that range from, are you entrusting FERPA-controlled data to someone? If you live in a public records state like I do in Florida, and your public records are now in the cloud, are you sure you can properly produce them when needed?
Let me stop you there for just a second. Are those things being worked out on a standardized basis? Are we coming up with some best practices and rules?
I'm encouraged to see, I think we're becoming more systematic at it. Some of the vendors are starting to now give us contracts that have those in place from the beginning. I mean, let me name, for example, Google. Google, over many iterations of working with a number of universities, they're now able to present a Google Apps for Education contract out of the gate that has a lot of those things in it.
I think even beyond the data security and privacy issue, something that Mike mentioned earlier is the support issue. And it's not just institutional clouds that we're worried about here, or the choices that an institution makes. We also have individuals on our campuses choosing all kinds of different cloud services. So the question is, how do we support them, knowing that there could be hundreds of these cloud services being used, or there could be a different cloud service for every person or multiple cloud services that each person uses. I think that's going to be a real challenge going forward.
So what do you see as the future of cloud computing?
I actually think that we simply need to choose based on what our stakeholders need. We should look at the requirements first. And if those requirements are services running out of the cloud, then we should choose those. And if there are some that we need to keep in-house, we should choose those. And if there are ones that we should do with a consortium of colleges, then that's the way we should go.
I think we're going to see multiple personalities here, if I can characterize it that way. I think from the institutional viewpoint, we're going to tend to be slow adopters. We're kind of latecomers to this party already. We still are very cautionary about it, and we're going to be slow but steady moving our enterprise systems into the cloud. But on the flip side, our primary clients are students and faculty who are embracing the cloud vigorously, you know, particularly the students who are coming to our institutions already with much of their IT infrastructure and services intact. And then when we try to say, no, leave the services you've been using and come into our little service island, they're going to be reluctant to that. Faculty as well are innovating out there. So we're going to have our clients who are pushing us in that regard. Whereas from an institutional basis, I think we're going to tend to be a little bit reluctant, and we're going to have this push and pull going on for a while, I think, for a number of years. Yeah,
I think that we simply have to be very thoughtful about the choices we make going forward. We really need to think more about what our stakeholders require and make those choices based on those requirements.
There's a whole host of opportunities that we haven't talked about, just when you leave the idea of the commercial cloud to us building our own clouds within higher education and consortial type arrangements, kind of breaking down some of those institutional silos and cooperating a bit more on providing some of these services than we have been. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but yes, a lot of very interesting problems that need thoughtful attention.
Great. Well, Michael Diekman and Melissa Wu, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jerry.
Michael Diekman and Melissa Wu on cloud computing. This EDUCAUSE 2009 annual conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. Thanks for listening.